Bench is 5-3 in favor of the Griffins. Points in the paint, 6-4 in favor of the Griffins. Dayton does have 5 steals. That has been a big part of the 7 turnovers. And that is where we stand as we get ready to start the second quarter. So, again, the key stat is out-rebound in the first quarter, 13-7, allowing 4 offensive rebounds. So we'll see if Coach D'Amico Williams-Jetter, I'll be real candid about this, can light a fire under this team. Because when you kind of look at it, a team coming in 0-5, you're trailing 7-2, you need to do better. You need to do a lot better.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, obviously there's still... They are still up by 1 point, but it was just sloppy basketball from the Flyers, especially against this team. I think Coach D'Amico was expecting them to be a lot better in that first quarter. That's kind of been a thing that we've seen commonly with this team so far this year. They've had slow starts, and you have to wonder at some point what steps you need to take, potentially within the lineup or just within the offensive game plan to eliminate that.
Leading scorers, Austin for Canisius, 5 points. For Dayton, leading the way is Stevens with 5 points and 4 from Niall Lear. And the Flyers will start this second quarter with the basketball going to our right. Man-to-man defense, and Niall Lear breaks it down. She's in the lane. Turnaround shot is partially deflected. And the ball is off of Lear, or they called a foul. She is now debating the official. You're not going to win that argument, young lady. Yes, they gave Niall a foul, and that is her first. And I'll admit I was screened by the official, so I can't really give you an indication of what I thought there. Wittenberg comes back in for Clay, by the way. Keying it in will be Gales. Shariah Gales into Wittenberg. Did a pretty good job on her in the first quarter, though she's in and out a lot. She had 2 points. 1 of 2 from the field. And she holds the ball with 20 seconds to shoot. Nothing going on inside. Gales outside the 3-point stripe between the circles. 10 to shoot. Bass holding it between the circles. Wittenberg starts to drive, but cut off. Now drives on Stevens. Tries to get it to Jabril. Kicks it back out, and they get a shot clock violation. That 3, well, Austin shot it after the buzzer. Missed it. But they get it back, and it's put in by Gales. And that is simply hustle that Canisius has done all night as they are banging the offensive boards. That's 5. Here's a 3 Lear. Too hard off the back of the iron. Dayton trails at 13-12. And the ball's kicked out to Jabril. Jabril guarded by Jacques Madal in the front of the 2-3 zone. Madal and Lear in the front. And Wittenberg is cut off effectively. She will kick it out to Austin. Here's the 3 that is too long by Bess. Another offensive rebound. Jabril. Now, again, this is just hustle. Driving is Wittenberg. Reverse layup is good. I'd call timeout right now, and I probably would give every player an alarm clock to keep coming off because this team is just not ready. Driving is Lear. Open lane. Blew the layup. Austin with the rebound. Leah Johnson will come in for Dayton in a moment. Wittenberg left side. She will drive. She's cut off effectively. And now Gales. 15-foot pop left side. It's too long. No good. And a foul on Canisius going for the board. We'll see who it's on. Jabril? I think it's Jabril. That would be her first foul. Madal out. Leah Johnson in. And, yes, Jabril picked up that foul. So it's 15-12. Dayton took about 3 minutes to score in the first quarter, and they have not scored in the first 2 minutes of this quarter, and they're now shooting 29%. And here's a bad pass over the head of Niall Lear. They have this type of a start in Florida next week. It'll get ugly fast.
Oh, yeah, it will not be good for them. I mean, those are very, very tough opponents. Not to discredit anything that Canisius has done so far today. I mean, they've shown great hustle in this game, but Dayton certainly has to step up their game on the offensive and defensive side of the ball.
And there is a foul. Malia Johnson is going for the steal on Wittenberg, and she commits her first foul. So Dayton has 2 fouls this period compared to 1 for Canisius. And we will Watch. Gray Pineda throw it in. The Spaniard does throw it in to Wittenberg. Wittenberg between the circles. There's a bounce pass from Koppel to Gales at the top of the key. She will drive on Malia Johnson. She'll muscle her inside. She's double-teamed. It's a kick out. Koppel is too long for the three. And almost another rebound for Canisius. But Franca Wittenberg is not able to save it. I will say this. Canisius, and the Dayton has to get rebounds and get fast breaks. Canisius is sending everybody to the boards. I didn't see him do this against Cornell from the replay Sunday. So if Dayton gets rebounds, they should easily have some fast break opportunities. Flyers trail at 15-12, 7-10 to go in the first half. We'll have an interesting halftime feature coming up, an interview I did at Xavier. Stay with us. Nia Lear drives. She's going to go to the line to shoot a couple. And I think Ray Pineda is going to get that foul. She does. That is her second. And we'll watch Nia work again at the line. I mentioned Ray Pineda. They got a lot of players who had experience last year as freshmen. So that should help them as the season goes on. Like Ray Pineda, she was in 31 games last year in her freshman campaign. She's majoring in marketing. We'll set the Dayton 5 for you. Olivia Leung is back in. Nia Lear is at the free throw line. Molly O'Riordan is on the left baseline looking for the rebound. Amelia Johnson is on the right. And Nicole Stevens is around half court. And Nia Lear, free throw, had a little too much spin and goes out. So yep. She maintains 4 points.
Gets that unlucky spin right there on the free throw. And another thing that Dayton has to not do is shoot poorly at the free throw line. If they're able to connect on free throws as Nia gets her second free throw, then again, obviously, it's a free throw. It's just like it's literally in the name. It's a free throw. It's practically 3 points if you're good at shooting. So Dayton really has to connect on free throws. Obviously, against Xavier, they were not the best at that. And then in our previous game, we saw them much better. So
yeah, they were about 80. They were like 21-23 or something. They were sensational. And Belmont hardly made it to the line until the end, but Dayton still lost it by 5 points. Now tonight, Canisius, they have not been to the free throw line. They do have 12 to shoot. Jabril holding it. Jabril drives on her defender, Leung, cut off by Olivia, so kicks it out. Here's Koppel. Here's a bounce pass underneath, and it's turnover number 8, and it goes out of bounds. Canisius gives it over to Dayton with a 2-point lead at 6:44 to go in the period.
And that could be a little bit of a momentum for Dayton if they're able to connect here. And they just have to get some rhythm offensively, and I think the person who has the ball right now, Nicole Stevens, I think she's exactly the right person for that because she really finds, she's a great passer with the ball. She finds always who she needs to.
Nia drives, Eurostep got away with an extra step and laid it in on the drive. So Nia's got 7. She's taking charge in this game. She got poked in the face earlier, but she shook it off. Dayton has tied the game at 15. And do they get the turnover? They force a double team in the backcourt. But Canisius is able to escape that with Clay now into the front court. Bounce pass to Jabril. She will drive on the defender. Pass off to Lise. Lise puts it in. Muscles it in. And Malia Johnson has picked up her second foul. So Yelena Feliz, using some power inside, gets the basket. She's 2-2 at the line this year, and she'll go there now. Canisius shoots 74% from the free throw line as a team. As for Feliz, she comes from Cal State Bakersfield, where she played in 13 games last year. And she has a major. I always envy and admire these student athletes who have a major like this, special education. Tough field. Feliz makes the free throw and gives her her third point all on that sequence, and it's a 3-point lead for Canisius, approaching 6 minutes to go in the first half. Stevens into the front court, over to Madal. Now Nia Lear, she will drive, she will shake and bake, lose the ball, but get it back. Blind pass, terrible pass intended for Shantavia Dawkins, but I think Nia threw that ball without looking for where the cutter was. And that is Dayton's 6th turnover of the game compared to 8 for Canisius. Now Canisius has 9 turnovers. It's stolen. Shantavia Dawkins gets the layup. So Dayton's going to do. You have to convert. If you force steals, you have to convert on the other end. Flyers trail it by 1. Out of control, Austin turns it over again. Dayton into the front court. Madal will score it. Stopping action is Canisius as they've committed now their 10th turnover. And they could get this ball game, get away from them quickly. So we'll take a break. We have 5:21 to go first half. Dayton now leads 19-18. We shall return.
Information Radio 1660 would like to thank the following businesses for helping us bring this game to you today. It's because of businesses like these broadcasts are possible. When you visit one of these businesses, please tell them you heard about them on Information Radio 1660. This year's underwriters are Archer's Tavern, Arrow Wine and Spirits, Bob Ross Auto Group, Butler Heating and Air Conditioning, Cedar Hill Furniture, Dayton Art Solutions, Demnica's Italiano Restaurant, El Rancho Grande, Fat Boys Dayton, Get Active Home Medical and Mobility, Hothead Burritos, Kettering Area Meyer Store, Kettering Overhead Door, Los Reyes Mexican Restaurant, Mo Harrigan's Irish American Tavern, Ohio Painting Service, Roberson Malone, Rotor Shoe Center, Rum Runners Cafe, Scott Bauer Roofing, Siding, and Home Improvement, Signorama, The Flower Shop, USA Tire and Auto Service Center, and Wheat Penny Oven and Bar.
Well, the Flyers at least have hit their last three field goals. And basically, they have trapped Canisius, and they have forced turnovers, and they have scored on fast break opportunities. 8-10, a couple of games going on tonight. Georgetown is at George Washington. And what I'm curious about, St. Louis, and they have started their season very rough. Seems like they do start slowly every year, and by the time they hit conference, they do become more competitive. But they are at Illinois State. That was, of course, the opener of the season when the Flyers lost there after being close in the first half. Then the game got away from them. So St. Louis is at Illinois State tonight. All right, Hardware, you're going to hear this name a lot. She was co-player of the week last week in the A-10, and she has done it again. She gets the award by herself tonight, and that is Richmond's Maggie Dugan. Averaged a double-double last week in a couple of wins. 21 points, 11 rebounds, also 6 assists. Shot 52% from the field and an impressive 93% from the free throw line. The Rookie of the Week, Virginia Commonwealth's Patricia Augustin. Some other excellent performances to recognize from A-10 athletes on the basketball court last week. Davidson's Charlie's Dunn averaged 17.5 points and 8 rebounds. Of course, Ibrahim from the Flyers averaged 15.5 points and 9.5 rebounds. George Mason's Kennedy Harris averaged 18 points, shot 75% from the field. LaSalle's Eris McCroon averaged 20 points a game for Mountain McGillivray. Rhode Island's Palmyra, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce this one, M-B-U-A-V-E, however that's pronounced. She averaged 18 points in 3 games. And St. Joseph, they've lost some of their excellent players to graduation, but Aaliyah Sneed is trying to make up for it. She averaged 20 points, shot 68% from the field last year. All right, so with 5:21 to go in the first half, Canisius to throw it into the backcourt. Flyers back off. They don't press this time. It's worked the last couple of times down. Dayton with a one-point lead, 5:15 to go in the period. 3-team fouls on Dayton, 2 on Canisius. And between the circles, Clay. Here's a 3. Coppell, she swishes it. Doesn't even hit the iron. Mary Coppell gets basically her seasonal average on that. Impressive-looking 3 on the left wing, giving Canisius a 2-point lead. Jacques Madal holds it. Jacques Madal takes 2 dribbles, hands it off to the cutter, and that is Leung. She drives, pushes off a little bit on Wittenberg, and banks it in! Libby Leung, first basket of the game, being a little bit physical with Franka Wittenberg. Wittenberg now the other way, races down. She's double-teamed, so she kicks it out to Coppell. Coppell will drive the right baseline. She's cut off. Here's a cross-court pass. A head fake. Driving is Wittenberg. She'll kick it out. Coppell, an open 3, right side! This time she can't hit it, and Leung comes down with the free throw. Or with the rebound, I should say. Stevens quickly up court to a shot. Madal, we're tied at 21. We have 4:20 to go in the first half here from UD Arena. Shantavia Dawkins, she's cut off. Out to Madal. The 3 left side is too long. Leung looks for the rebound, but it's blocked out and effectively. So the carom is taken by Franka Wittenberg. Wittenberg all the way down on Dawkins. She posts Dawkins a push-off. Now it's kicked out to Clay on the left side. She's guarded by Stevens. 15 to shoot. Coppell will be on her dribble. Leung will stick with her. 4 players to come in a moment. 4 Canisius. There's 8 to shoot. Wittenberg drives. She's cut off by Madal. Here's a bounce pass underneath. It's a turnover. It's a bad pass on the ground. Somehow Gale saves it. And they get the shot off. The 3 is banked in by Coppell.
The bank is open at night on a Friday because it was a scrum, and Gail's great hustle was able to save it. And Koppel threw up the prayer, and she was answered with the banker. And it's a three-point lead for Canisius. Leong with the basketball, looks inside. A weirdness in. She has it. She posts up and kicks it out to Shantavia Dawkins in front of the Canisius bench. Between the circles now, tapping her top of her head is Stevens with six to shoot. Stevens uses a pick. Stevens is cut off with three to shoot. Molly O'Reardon banks it up, can't get it to go. Leong battles for the rebound. Another scrum on the ground. Leong somehow has it, and what do we call? And Leong might have been on the baseline. Great hustle for Olivia. And again, four in, four out for Canisius. And it was out on Canisius. So Dayton, they reset the shot clock to 20. Dayton down three. Dayton still down three. Stevens missed the three. Rebound. Four. McDowell knocks the ball away, hitting the court. Great hustle. And saves it to Stevens. Dayton gets a reprieve. Driving is Leong. All the way in. Banks it up. Contact. Blocking foul on Gales, her first. And Olivia Leong will go to the free throw line to shoot a pair. Lots of contact in this game. As Olivia Leong at the free throw line this year is at 71%. She looks her points 3 and 4 in this contest. Hush over the crowd. Free throw good. Brings Dayton within two. Canisius team looking for their first victory of the year. Free throw is good, so Dayton at the line tonight is 5 of 6 compared to 1 of 1 for the Griffins. So the ball's inbounded in the backcourt to Marilyn Miskell. And now Jabril up court to Best. Best drives. She's cut off effectively. Now drives again on Madal. Pushes off and banks it in. That's Kelsey Best's first points of the night, 26-23. Canisius is not going to crack. Stevens front court. Out to Shantavia Dawkins. Dawkins will drive out of control. Ball slips out of her hands, and it's stolen, and the Griffins look to run. They don't have the numbers, so Gales decides to slow the basketball up. Leading by three, driving is Jabril. She's cut off effectively between the circles. Basketball is out to Miskell. Molly Miskell. Now 10 to shoot. And Austin pushes off on O'Reardon. Now takes her one-on-one, loses her, and goes up and banks it in and got the foul on Molly O'Reardon. Austin has 7 points. O'Reardon has her second foul. And Austin took it to Molly O'Reardon. Austin played at Essex Community College last year, averaging 9 a game. That's Division II in the JUCO rankings. And the dinner table is a busy place for Austin. It's competitive. 5 siblings. And she majors in communication studies. And Austin is right now a perfect 3 of 3 at the line this year. She only averages 2 points a game, and now she has 7. And she can make it 8. And she can give the Griffins a 6-point lead, which she does. So Dayton led by 1 at the end of the first, and they've been outscored by 7 in this disastrous second period. Jacques Madal with the basketball. Now Olivia Leong will drive. Teardrop in the lane. Too hard. Jabril comes down with an easy rebound. And the shooting is now 8 of 24 for Dayton at 33%. And they've been out-rebounded by 9. Jabril loses the basketball but is able to recover. Jabril will now start to drive on Dawkins, and Dawkins is a little close to her. That's a bit of a ticky-tack foul, but they give the foul to Shantavia, her first. And that should put Jabril at the line, where she is 57% on the season. Jabril was in 31 games her freshman year. Good experience. She's majoring in finance and economics. And the first of 2 free throws with 1:25 to go in this first half is good. And we mentioned that Canisius wasn't getting the line. Well, guess what? Looks like now they're starting to get to the line. Another one coming up here for Yasmin. Spells her last name. D-I-J-B-R-I-L. But it's pronounced Jabril, and she actually missed the second free throw. First missed free throw of the night for Canisius. And it is Nicole Stevens. She almost double dribbled, but she realized that when she picked the ball up, she could not dribble once again. So Dayton's been held to 11 this period, and it's still 11 as Leon missed a wide open three. Good hustle for Grant getting the rebound, but they're going to say she was out of bounds when she came down with it. And with 1:08 to go in the period, the Griffins will inbound it. I'd be interested in hearing Tamika Williams-Jetter's halftime speech. Yeah. I would think if the arena would quiet down, even from the locker room, we might be able to hear her.
Yeah, I think...
Providing she has her voice back for full power.
She may not be very happy. Just a wild guess.
I wouldn't be, but not with this performance.
Yeah.
So between the circles, it's Austin. They have 10 to shoot, and they throw a pass that's batted away, but right back to Austin, and they miss a shot. But there's another offensive rebound and another opportunity with 15 to shoot. There's a pass underneath. It's a bad pass. It's a bounce pass. It's intercepted by Ajak Badal. That's 11 turnovers on the game for the Griffins and Dayton. There's a seven-second discrepancy, game clock and shot clock, but the Flyers are going to take as much of this down as they can. I'll give you the numbers at the end of the half, and then we'll break for our halftime program. Now Stevens on the dribble, four to shoot, and Cameron Grant has it, and as she comes down, they're calling her for the foul. I was waiting for a defensive foul, but Cameron Grant picks up her first. And for the last offensive position, Franca Wittenberg's going to come in with 9 seconds to go. Canisius, 11 in the first period, 19 in this period, compared to the Flyers, 11. So the ball's keyed in. Ray Pineda does so to Wittenberg. Dayton's going to press in the backcourt, try to chew up as much of that 9 seconds as possible. Wittenberg front court, uses a screen, 2 seconds. Wittenberg forces the top of the key at the buzzer. It's a break. And we are at the end of the first half. All right, so Dayton did not score for the last 2:40 of the half. They missed all 5 field goal attempts, while Canisius hit 5 of their last 7 from the field. So as we look at the team numbers, 41% respective shooting from the field for Canisius, 31% for Dayton. From 3, Canisius 33%, 3 of 9. Dayton 20%, 2 of 10. Canisius 3 of 4 at the line, Dayton 5 of 6. Canisius 11 turnovers. If you double that, that's actually below their seasonal average of 27. Dayton with 9 turnovers. Dayton is plus 6 on the points off turnovers, but here's the key. Plus 10 on rebounds for Canisius, 23-13. They're plus 5 on the offensive and the defensive boards. And their bench has outscored Dayton 19-5. They've outscored Dayton in the paint 16-12. Though the Flyers have the only 6 fast break points in this game. Dayton has 8 steals compared to 5 for Canisius. 6 assists for Canisius, 4 for Dayton. Okay, the individual numbers look like this. Dawkins with 2 points. Leung has 4. Jacques Madal has 2. Stevens has 5. Grant has not scored. Malia Johnson has not scored. Nia Lear does have 7 in this game. Ibrahim has only 1 shot, and she has not scored. Jada Johnson has not scored. Molly Rear does not score. If we're looking at foul trouble, Malia Johnson, Ibrahim, and Molly O'Riordan all have 2 fouls. As for Canisius, again, Austin's been their story. She has 8 points in this game. Gales, we have to talk about her. She has 4 points, but she has 7 rebounds, working hard. Ray Pineda has 2. Wittenberg has 4. Jabril has 1 point. Koppel has 6 on a couple of threes, including a bank in 3. Clay hasn't scored. Bess has 2. Mescal has not scored. Felice has a 3-pointer, actually a 3-point play. And Thundervadu, I should just stop that. Ivy has not scored. All right. Halftime again. Dayton trails at 30-23. So halftime program is coming up.
Okay, Simon, what are you wearing right now?
Nothing.
That's right. And what do people normally wear?
Clothes.
Exactly. So now mommy's going to teach you how to dress yourself. Clothes keep us warm, they look good, and if we go out without them, the neighbors will talk. So it's important to know how to get dressed. Here's how it's done. Underwear always comes first, name tag at the back, then pants, then shirt. Get the first button in the right hole, or you have to start all over. If you're wearing a tie, it goes over, round, round, through, and pull tight. Tuck your shirt into your pants and zip up your flap. Socks go on first, then shoes, right on right, left on left. With shoelaces, just take the ends, cross them over, switch the loops. The rabbit goes down the hole, pull tight, and you're left with bunny ears.
I love bunnies.
Good to know. Now remember, spots don't go with stripes, socks don't go with sandals, and if you've tucked in your shirt, wear a belt. Got it? Why are your pants on your head?
Most parenting is hard to do in just 2 minutes. But spending just 2 minutes twice a day making sure they brush their teeth is easier and could help save them from a lifetime of tooth pain. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. That's 2min2x.org. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ag Council.
It's halftime at UD Arena. Our halftime program today is being brought to you by the Bob Ross Auto Group on Loop Road in Centerville. Now let's head back to the studios for halftime.
We like to talk with interesting people at our halftimes, and for this halftime, recently I was at the Cintas Center for the Flyers game against Xavier, and we're going to talk to a Xavier graduate, John Baldrige, and started to... Now, here's where I want to start with you, John. You actually started the student radio station. I'm pretty impressed. How did they have the interest in having a student radio station for sports, which you got involved in, start from scratch?
You know, that's a long-winded story. Thanks for having me, Barry.
We got time.
So, I was in the Great Lakes League for Cincinnati here with the Steam in 2023, and around that summer when that ended, I was going to my junior year. And, you know, after enough persistence, probably not trying to be too pushy with the SID and the marketing department here, they let me call the games, and, you know, I did that last couple of years as a student, started that platform up using a streaming service here with Xavier, and able to do that and bring a student on this past year to take it over when I graduated. And now, when I graduated in May, I'm now got a position with Xavier with the Learfield platform here. So it's been real fortunate. I think you really got to work your way in the door and not try to be too pushy, but be a little persistent about it is probably the main way to go about that.
Yeah, one thing I was going to talk about, like if you were advising somebody who wants to get into this business, I think you talked about a key word there, persistence but not pushy. But what else would you advise?
I would say you need to speak to people and grow your network, and that's not always easy because even nowadays I'm, you know, working my way up through minor league baseball and going that route, I think, is a lot of people how they approach that. And you're having these conversations where you're saying the same thing over and over to people about yourself and telling your story and hearing their stories. But, you know, there's not a correct path to get into this industry, but there's definitely a right approach, I would say, and that's trying to reach out and be humble and also care about people, and I think that goes a long way.
I think if anybody wants to see also, and you've got a website, and I do want you to promote it, about how to format and what to say on a resume, yours is a beautiful piece of work.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's John R. Baldrige, just my website. And, you know, that comes from a lot of people I've talked to, too. I have a lot of great references I've learned from. I was very fortunate. I was in the Northwoods League back in 2024, going into my senior year, and I worked for a guy named Jim Michudek, who was a Fond du Lac native. I was in with the Fond du Lac Dock Spiders up in the Northwoods League in Wisconsin, and he traveled with the Orioles and the Braves for a long time as a PR director, and, you know, he really helped me become a great writer, and I always say I went to the Jim Michudek writing school because he was just so good at that. But yeah, you learn a lot along the way from different people, and that really pays off.
You'll know I did my homework on you when I ask you this question. So I looked at your resume very carefully. You have a number of references. Some of them were interesting to me. One of them was really interesting to me. So I'm going to ask you where you got the connection. And that would be Andrew Catalan, who is a sensational... I'm not going to say he's up and coming, because he's been around forever, doing national TV for CBS golf, NFL football, and college basketball.
So I'll tell you an interesting story about that. I texted Andrew, I think I tweeted at him one time, and I said, hey, can we, you know, you're coming to do a Xavier game, can we get in coffee? So, you know, we spoke on the phone, we networked, and a couple months later he came in to do a Xavier game again, and we got coffee that time, and we were over, I think it was over in Clifton, that's where they were staying at this hotel, and his hotel just closed for coffee about maybe 10:30, 11 o'clock, and he said, hey, do you want to go walk and get coffee? So we start walking down Clifton, go down through UC's campus, and right over there, there's a Dunkin'. It's a 30-minute walk, and we're walking the whole time asking about, you know, how he knows Jim Nance and what his relationship like with many different people. And, you know, he's just great. Every time I send him tapes or I want to get feedback, he'll get back to me in 24 hours and already listened to the tape. Did that for baseball this year. He sits there, and, you know, he's one of the first guys to observe it and tell me what I really need to work on. He's very critical at me, but I think having people like that are great. And, you know, that's one thing. If you go to Dayton or you go to Xavier, whatever it might be, go down before the basketball game. If it's a men's game or women's game, go down and talk to the broadcasters who are coming in to call the game. That's what I do with him, and he was just the best about that the last couple of years.
Wow. I mean, yes, to have a mentor like that who you can actually also note as a reference. Because the guy's got one heck of a schedule. So did you guys also talk about, you didn't mention this before, did you guys also talk about calling golf?
He talks about golf. He asked me, do you play golf? And I said, oh, I'm not very good, to be honest. But, you know, I slice it or I hook it most of the time. But he gets out there and plays, which is really cool. I know you hear a lot of the stories about major league guys in baseball. They get out and play a lot of different golf courses. I know covering golf, you get a chance to do that. I don't play, but he's a very good golfer, just like Jim Nance probably is. And, you know, it's one thing that, you know, if you get to that level, you get more time on your hands, and it's fun to hear stories like his.
All right, so you did the Peoria Chiefs this year, Cardinal affiliate, not a great season, but give us a little input about your experience calling minor league baseball for the first time, how you got the gig, as you said, basically fresh out of college.
So that's another one where it's like I would say to a lot of broadcasters out there, maybe one of my jobs, maybe the Fond du Lac job was the only one I really got by just, you know, applying for the job and getting it. Most of them are by, you know, connections I made. I spoke to their broadcaster who was there. The main guy is a Peoria native back in October of last year in 2024. And he was very nice to speak to me. And then it wasn't until January they actually had a job open up. And, you know, I applied, and when I applied, when we had an interview, he said, I already know your whole story and everything about you, but just tell me what the day-to-day looks like for you in Fond du Lac. And, you know, having that connection already was so great. And, you know, calling minor league baseball is great. It is a grind, but I think the Northwoods League is a grind where you play 72 games in 76 days. So there was no difference. You got to do the media relations. You got to be able to do ticketing and everything they asked on top of calling baseball. But it's such a great way to get your foot in the door. And, you know, of course, I hope to go back and continue to go that route because I really like baseball. I'm a big baseball basketball guy. And, you know, probably that's because baseball here at Xavier is important. Basketball here at Xavier is very important. But, you know, just the connections you make along the way, like one I made in Peoria, really helped out get me that job.
So do you already, are you committed to do Peoria again next year? Hopefully.
That's something we're keeping in the back door, possibly. You know, you're always, when you're young like I am, you're always hoping to maybe see where it ends up. But right now, it's still up in the air a little bit.
Okay, final question. You've also done play-by-play of volleyball. Now, I've gone to volleyball. I think it's a great sport. I've never tried to call volleyball, and I'm not sure how it would go for me, considering it's so quick. And basically, on the third touch, it's pounded over the net. What was your challenge calling volleyball?
You really did some research to find that. It's not even on a resume. But,
yeah.
But, yes, I did get a chance to do a volleyball game for Xavier a couple weeks back, and that's because Mike Schmoltz is doing the game tonight for ESPN+. Plus. He had to cover something else that day. So he called me and asked me if I wanted to do the game, and I said, yeah, I'd love to do it. And, you know, volleyball is a little challenging. I did my prep, of course. I watched a lot of film, and I watched that game they did the day prior going into that game against, they played Providence that Saturday a couple weeks back. And it was a good game to call. I really enjoyed it. I asked the SID of Xavier, who's a sports information director, after the game. I was like, well, how'd you think it went? And she was like, oh, you did pretty good. So, you know, it's nice to hear some good feedback. But definitely a new sport. It's always good to learn how to do multiple sports.
So you called it on TV. A little difference because I've heard people try to call it on radio, which is a little bit more clunky. But on TV, your analyst, did you have somebody who was a former player? You can lean on them a lot for strategy.
Well, that's the thing. It would be nice if you had an analyst, but here
it's all you.
We were all solo for that game. Ooh. So it was a little challenging, but definitely, you know, it's like baseball. You pace yourself. You don't have to call every single bump because it's TV. They can see it. But at the same time, you know, you definitely want to be on top of the action and call a good game, and I think the feedback I got was solid enough to say, hey, I can do that again.
Was it a three-setter, or did it get to five?
That went three. Xavier was playing really well. They're actually, I'll mention them right now. They haven't lost since I called that volleyball match. They have a 20-win season right now under Christy Peppenberger. They're 22-2 on the year, and they got two games left, and they're getting ready to finish out the regular season. And hopefully they'll make it to the dance this year, but having a really good season.
All right. Well, John, we thank you, and let's get back to courtside. That is Dahl for our halftime.
The halftime program was brought to you today by the Bob Ross Auto Group on Loop Road in Centerville. Now let's head back to the arena for the second half of today's contest.
And if somebody is just joining us, this is not a mistake on my part. Canisius gets a 6-0 run over the last 2 minutes and 36 seconds, and they have increased their lead to 30-23. We're 3 minutes away from starting the second half. Canisius actually started this game up 7-2 after 5 minutes. The Flyers were 0-6 from the field. Dayton did wind up grabbing a 12-11 lead at the end of the first quarter, but Dayton allowed 4 offensive rebounds in the first period, and they were out-rebounded in that quarter 13-7. Canisius really put it to Dayton in the second period, 19-11. Now, a couple of updates from the A-10 tonight. St. Louis is doing very well. 5 minutes to go in the first half. They're shooting 11 of 20, 55%. They lead in Illinois State. That score is 23-16. It's halftime, and Georgetown is leading at George Washington, 41-31, despite 11 points out of Lewis. And we can tell you what is going on in the A-10 this weekend. A lot of teams will have action, as Dayton, again, will be off. But I can give you the schedule for the A-10 this weekend. By the way, St. Louis's lead is 25-21 over Illinois State, under 4 minutes to go in the first half. So tomorrow you have Albany playing at undefeated St. Bonaventure, 5-0. Good for Jim Crowley. Happy for him. American is playing at 4-1 LaSalle. Loyola Chicago is off to a 1-4 start. They're playing at Illinois Chicago. Another afternoon game tomorrow. Davidson's 4-2, but good luck to them. They're going to play 7th-ranked Baylor, who's 4-1, at 5:30 tomorrow. If Davidson plays like they did last night against Miami, Florida, that'll be ugly. And VCU's 3-1. They're going to play undefeated Texas A&M tomorrow night at 11:30 in something called the North Shore Showcase. As for Sunday, Rhode Island 5-1. They're going to play North Carolina State, and they are nationally ranked 16th with a 3-2 record. Morgan State's going to play George Washington. Navy is undefeated 4-0. Well, good luck, Navy. Let's see how you do at 4-1 Richmond on Sunday. Manhattan is winless 0-4. They're going to play at 3-3 Fordham. And George Mason 4-1. Good luck to them. They are going to play at 9th ranked and undefeated 6-0 Maryland. So those are the games Sunday and Monday, or Saturday and Sunday. And Monday, St. Joe and Penn are going to play, both 4-1. Kent State 3-3 at Duquesne 4-1. And a pair of 3-1 teams, Colorado, is going to play in that North Shore Showcase against Virginia Commonwealth. All right, let's get underway with the second half. Flyers won the tip easily to start the game, so they're going to start out on defense. They come out with Jacques Madal, Maya Lear, Nicole Stevens, Olivia Leung, and Fatima Ibrahim. Flyers actually came out of the locker room. I was a little surprised how early they came out at the 7-minute mark. I thought Tamika might keep them in there past 15 minutes. But they actually were out quite a bit of time before Canisius. And here come the Griffins out. They're coming out with Gales, along with Clay, Wittenberg, along with Jabril, and Ray Pineda. So original starting five for both teams. And we're underway in the second half. Griffins up 7 with the ball. And it is Franka Wittenberg. And driving is Wittenberg on the right wing. Holds the basketball now. And something's going on there. I think they got Ibrahim, who was camped out in the lane. So they call her for 3 seconds. Probably expecting Wittenberg to drive or get a shot up. And she did neither. So the player was caught in the lane. Flyers with the ball down 7. Trying not to be the first victim of the year to Canisius. Olivia Leung with the basketball on the left wing. on the dribble, guarded by Wittenberg. It's 2-3 zone. Wittenberg plays it out high along with Clay. Niall Lear dumps the ball and now quickly out the three. Open look, Stevens in and out, but keeping it alive is Ibrahim. She goes in and missed the layup. Gets it back again, got blocked from behind. She'll have to earn the 2 points at the line. As Dayton is now working hard on the boards for one of the first times of the game. Somebody for Canisius just picked up her second foul, and it looks like that is Wittenberg. Now Wittenberg does not have two fouls. I'm trying to figure out. Well, worry about who got the foul later. But, again, right now it is Ibrahim at the line. She's a 79% free throw shooter on the year, and the first one's missed. See if she can enter the scoring column on this one. Bring Dayton within six. Swishes it. 30, Canisius, 24, Dayton. 9:15 to go, period. Dayton pressing the backcourt. Ball sent to Ray Pineda. They back off the pressure on her. Now front court, it is Wittenberg. Cut off effectively by Madal. Top of the key is Gales. Gales looks inside, nothing happening. 9 minutes to go in the period, 10 to shoot. Ray Pineda holds it. Now Jabril with the basketball deep in the corner is Clay. Clay with 8 to shoot. Leung sticks to her like flypaper. Ball's kicked out, 4 to shoot. Wittenberg tries to elude her defender. Almost turned it over. Here's a desperation shot that's an air ball. And that was good defense by Dayton. It could have been 60 seconds to shoot, and I don't think Canisius would have had a chance. Flyers do up some good offensive and defensive intensity there as we're going to see Koppel and Best come in for Clay and Ray Pineda. 8:46 to go. Crowd getting a little antsy here. Dayton did have one run in this game where they forced some turnovers. They're going to need another one now as they're in a 6-point deficit. Driving his lane, reverse layup is good. Nio with 9 points. She shoots 64% from the field. Dayton gets the steal, but they cannot capitalize. It's Wittenberg in the front court. She pulls up to Gales. Gales has the ball between the circles, guarded by Ajat Madani. Looking to the basket, driving his best. Best a nice bounce pass. Gales. Gales off balance, puts it in. It counts. She's fouled, and she'll go to the line to complete the 3-point play. Gales has 6 points. She shoots 77% from the line. Olivia Leung got the foul. That's her second. Jacques Madal's out. And Malia Johnson is in. And Gales is at the free throw line at her Ohio High School. 1,020 points. 1,101 rebounds. Some pretty impressive numbers. She was in 29 games last year. 12 starts. But she missed the free throw after all of that. Flyers still down six. Niall Lear drives. In the lane, she's cut off. Eurostep goes in, misses the banker. Rebound comes down into the hands of Wittenberg. She tries to go past Leung, who keeps up with her. Forces it up, missed the layup. Rebound comes down to Ibrahim. Flyers are going to break the other way. Malia Johnson drives all the way in. Why did she shoot it? It was wild. She missed it, but Olivia Leung comes up with the rebound. Driving is Olivia Leung. Off balance. Didn't call her for travel. Wide open three. Malia Johnson. Bang! Second three of the night for Malia Johnson. Dayton down three. 7.5 minutes to go in the period. Dayton will press in the backcourt. Bess over to Wittenberg. Actually, now they're going to back off. Feliz will come back in for the Griffins in a moment. On the dribble is Wittenberg between the circles. Gales. Now on the right wing, it's Bess. Played by Niall Lear. Stairs are down. Gales will drive on Ibrahim and come up short on the layup. Malia Johnson got poked in the eye. She's slow to come up court. She's going to try to shake it off. Niall Lear tries to lure her defender. Goes up and in. Over Wittenberg. Niall taking over. 11 points for Lear. Dayton now on a little bit of a run. They're down one. 32-31 with 7 minutes to go in the period. Koppel has the basketball for Canisius. Koppel calls the play. Almost had it stolen while she was calling the play, but Bass is able to control the basketball. Bass gets the basketball up. Oh, Niall Lear comes up with another stick, and it comes up to Stevens. She comes in for the layup, and Dayton has the lead. Lear is everywhere. She's on the ground doing everything. Stevens has 7 points. Canisius says, stop the madness. Dayton leads 33-32, 6:35 to go third quarter. We shall return.
Information Radio 1660 would like to thank the following businesses for helping us bring this game to you today. It's because of businesses like these broadcasts are possible. When you visit one of these businesses, please tell them you heard about them on Information Radio 1660. This year's underwriters are Archer's Tavern, Arrow Wine and Spirits, Bob Ross Auto Group, Butler Heating and Air Conditioning, Cedar Hill Furniture, Dayton Art Solutions, Demnica's Italiano Restaurant, El Rancho Grande, Fat Boys Dayton, Get Active Home Medical and Mobility, Hothead Burritos, Kettering Area Meyer Store, Kettering Overhead Door, Los Reyes Mexican Restaurant, Mo Harrigan's Irish American Tavern, Ohio Painting Service, Roberson Malone, Rotor Shoe Center, Rum Runners Cafe, Scott Bauer Roofing, Siding, and Home Improvement, Signorama, The Flower Shop, USA Tire and Auto Service Center, and Wheat Penny Oven and Bar.
I'm not exactly addressing the Canisius listeners, if we have any, with this comment, but as for Dayton, this is more like it, a 7-0 run over the last minute, causing steals, scoring in transition, hitting all three three-pointers, and Niall Lear too in everything, scoring and then hustling, tipping the ball away, hitting the court. Well, the Flyers added another young lady to the program for future. Oh, by the way, the attendance, 2,050. A little surprised. It's that many, but okay. But anyway, the Flyers have added a newcomer to the program. That would be 6'1 forward Brooke McLeod out of Canada. Played for the under-19 Canadian national team earlier this season. And I mentioned this again, I'll plug it again, December 7th, but December 13th during the men's game, I think they're playing North Florida, there will be four new inductees into the University of Dayton Hall of Fame. They'll include Chris Lemon, cross country from 2007 to 2010, Opie Toppin, now injured Indiana Pacer, played for Dayton from 2017 to 2020. In 2020, the National Player of the Year, 29-2 Dayton, their season cut short by COVID. That year, OBA averaged 20 points and 7.5 rebounds. Also, Doug Hossfeld, 47 years in the UD Sports Information Athletic Communications Department, primarily working with football and men's basketball. And near and dear to my heart, Kelly Austria, graduate of Carroll High School, played for UD from 2012 to 2017, 1,197 career points, 21st scoring all time for UD, a defensive assassin as well. Now taking classes at Bowling Green, working toward a grad degree there. So those will be your four new inductees into the UD Hall of Fame on December the 13th. Feels like this timeout, it's finally over. So, Dayton again in this game has committed 9 turnovers, 15 for Canisius. Flyers with the lead 33-32 after trailing at the half 30-23. So they have outscored Canisius 10-2 in this period in the first 3.5 minutes. We'll see if they can sustain that. We thought they were going to sustain it when they had a run in the first quarter, but then they just fell back quite a bit. So front court, here is Franca Wittenberg. She's a leader on this team. She's going to have to do, I think, a lot more shooting. Oh, they left Ray Pineda wide open. She missed the three. Could have burned them. But I tell you what did happen there. It was a push off on Malia Johnson. They're going to give her the foul. And that's her third. Probably put her to the bench at the 6:20 mark. Let's look for the substitution.
Yeah, and that's just
of
really...
which there is none.
Okay. That's just very unwise by Malia Johnson. It was a very obvious foul also, and they had already gotten the rebound that they needed. So, I just think that's unwise. That kind of puts Dayton in a spot where, like you just said, Barney, they don't want to be in.
No player ever thinks they foul, though, of course. And Madal will come in, but it'll be at the next dead ball. Felice traveled and got away with it. Now between the circles, the basketball is off to Wittenberg. She will drive. She draws triple coverage, so she'll kick it out to Ray Pineda with 8 to shoot. Pineda outside the 3-point stripe in front of her own bench. She drives. She's cut off effectively with 3 to shoot. Wittenberg open 3. Too hard. Long rebound. Niall Lear comes up with it at 5'10". She timed that one well. Lear in transition. Bounce pass. Malia Johnson. Basket good on the fast break. Malia Johnson is on the board. And Dayton is feels like a big lead now. 3 points. 5:40 to go. As Dayton has 12-2 outscored Canisius in this third period. Wittenberg on the baseline. Kick out Koppel. They leave her. Leung didn't get burnt. So it's a brick. Open three was way off the mark. As if the Flyers continue to build this lead. This period, both teams have. Well, Canisius has one foul, Peyton has two. On the dribble is Nia Lear. She gets to give it up to Malia Johnson. Outside the three-point stripe. Malia drives in the paint. She lost it. That's an unforced turnover. Franka Wittenberg, though, had it poked away from her, but somehow it came up to Koppel, and she's now into the front court. Cross-court Wittenberg. She'll drive on Ibrahim. She'll have an offensive charging foul, and holding her ground very well was Olivia Leung. Wittenberg has picked up her third foul. She's got some troubles as four players will come in, and we're going to take another break. 4:57 to go, third quarter. Dayton up 35-32. We shall return.
Information Radio 1660 would like to thank the following businesses for helping us bring this game to you today. It is because of businesses like these that these broadcasts are possible. When you visit one of these businesses, please tell them that you heard about them on Information Radio 1660. This year's underwriters are Archer's Tavern, Arrow Wine and Spirits, Bob Ross Auto Group, Butler Heating and Air Conditioning, Cedar Hill Furniture, Dayton Art Solutions, Demnica's Italiano Restaurant, El Rancho Grande, Fat Boys Dayton, Get Active Home Medical and Mobility, Hothead Burritos, House of 10,000 Picture Frames, Kettering Area Meyer Store, Kettering Overhead Door, Los Reyes Mexican Restaurant, Mo Harrigan's Irish American Tavern, Ohio Painting Service, Roberson Law, Rotor Shoe Center, Rum Runners Cafe, Scott Bauer Roofing, Siding, and Home Improvement, Cinerama, The Flower Shop, USA Tire and Auto Service Center, and Wheat Penny Oven and Bar.
All right. Thank you, Abby. So, Wednesday, I was at Wright State, had a chance to go to their education game when the kids from a lot of elementary schools were able to go. It was an entertaining game. Unfortunately, Wright State, they're tying it up at the end of the fourth quarter, got outscored 15-8 in overtime, and lost to Bellarmine. That score was 83-76. And it's kind of a surprise because Wright State loses this game, though only committing 8 turnovers in the whole game. But where they fell short is they only went 11 out of 36 from the field from 3. So they were bad there, and overall they shot 27 of 79. That was only 34%. They did have some good individual performances. Chloe Chart-Pelequin had 11 rebounds in the game. Breezy Williams, read Tom Archdeacon's column that he wrote about her in conjunction with the game story. She started fast and ended with 18 points. The article talks about how she got the name Breezy. Local product Riley Sagister had 5 three-pointers in the game, ended with 16 points. Claire Henson was in foul trouble the whole time, but tell you what, the Valley View young lady is a battler. She had 12 rebounds, 6 offensive and 6 defensive. She had 13 points. And again, Wright State lost that ball game. Interesting story about Wright State's next game, which I'll get to after the next media timeout. But again, Dayton's on a 9-0 run over the last 2 minutes and 38 seconds as Canisius has not scored for the last 3:16. And Dayton has the basketball, and they're up 3 with 4:57 to go in the third period. It'll be our last broadcast before Thanksgiving, so we want to wish a happy, healthy, and safe Thanksgiving to everybody. As we're back 2 weeks from Sunday, next home game will be against Long Island. It'll be a 1 o'clock tip. Ibrahim kicks it back out of traffic. It's whipped around. Driving is Nia Lear. Teardrop in the lane. Comes up short. Air ball. But it came right to Ibrahim, and she overshot the goal entirely. Canisius is going to run the other way right in front of us. Austin with her 8 points in the first half. And now Ray Pineda hits a 10-footer from the left side. Soft touch for Ray Pineda, who's got 4 points now. And it's a one-point Dayton lead. Driving is Shontavia Dawkins back in the lineup. Outside to Nia Lear. Lear outside the three-point stripe. Looks inside. Nothing happening. And she'll kick it back out of traffic. 13 to shoot. 4 minutes to go in this period. Dayton up by one on Canisius. The Griffins looking for their first win of the year. Here's a three. A shot. Madal. It comes up too long. About a weak side rebound for Ibrahim. She walked. No call. Now she'll throw it away. Threw it right to Clay. Clay on the right side. Between the circles. 20 seconds to shoot. It's Ray Pineda. Off to Jabril. Jabril out high. 10 to shoot. Austin, top of the key, pulls up. Ray Pineda, oh, she took her eye off the ball. That's a careless, unforced turnover. It's out of bounds. And I'm not sure it was planned this way, but she's looking dejected. She is replaced by Franca Wittenberg with 3:29 to go in the third period. 17 turnovers for Canisius, 11 for Dayton. Jack Madal over to Nia Lear. She will drive on the she will bank it in. Not she will drive on Ibrahim. She will drive on Jabril. So Nia has scored. She now has a team-high 13 points, and Dayton's lead is 3. 3 minutes to go in the third. Wittenberg tries to elude Nia Lear. Wittenberg uses a screen, taps the top of her forehead. Wittenberg calling out the shots, 15 to shoot, uses a Jabril screen. Wittenberg drives, she goes under the basket, out, and now gets cleanly stuffed by Ibrahim, but gets it back, and the ball deflected to Jada Johnson. Comes down on Clay, Johnson goes all the way, and it scores! Jada Johnson with the 2 points, off the good block by Ibrahim. Dayton up, might be the biggest lead of the game, 5 points, with 2.5 minutes to go in the third period as they look to put some distance between themselves and Canisius, and the ball is stolen away by Nia Lear off of Austin, and there's a quick pass up court. Good defensive play. It's knocked out of bounds. Otherwise, Shontavia Dawkins would have had an easy layup as Ivy Fondervandu was able to knock it away. Nia Lear is going to get a rest, deservedly so. She's been tough on both ends of this court tonight. And again, Canisius runs people in the whole time and out. Wittenberg, I don't know. This seems odd. This didn't happen in the Cornell game. She'll play like a minute or a minute and a half, and then she checks out right away. Now, maybe she's got a little bit of an illness, but no defense by Canisius. And Ibrahim on the inbound is able to get an easy layup, and Dayton all of a sudden is now up 7. They were down 7 at the end of the half. Now they're up 7 with 2 minutes to go in this period. Best with the basketball. We'll ask Tamika Williams-Jenner after the game what magic words she said, some of which I'm sure we're not allowed to say on this air. Jabril drives. It's poked away. It's another turnover. As Dayton is tenacious and in frustration, Jabril pokes Ibrahim in the face, and Jabril has picked up her second foul. I guess you might say that we're back to reality now in this period. Again, taking nothing away from Canisius. I think their effort has been wonderful tonight. But this is really what we expected in this game. Not a 7-point deficit, but a 7-point lead. Under 2 minutes to go in this period. Front court is Nicole Stevens. From the UD bench, outside the 3-point stripe. Stevens will pull up, cross court pass Jada Johnson. She's able to control, 15 to shoot. Johnson open three, in and out, and did not go down. I had to hesitate there. Here come the Griffins the other way. Clay pulls up on the right baseline. Now to Gales. Gales belly-to-belly defense by Shontavia Dawkins. Tries to post Dawkins. Forces it up short on a banker. It was a good double team by Dayton. And in transition, Nishat Madal drives all the way down and lays it in. She's got 4. The Flyer lead is 9 with 1 minute to go in the period. Canisius has been held to 4 points in this period. And Dayton has scored 20 points themselves. Here's a banker inside, actually. Canisius now has 6. So Dayton's 20-6 this period. And they have a 43-36 lead, 44 seconds in the period. And here's a pass double team. And having the basketball is Ibrahim inside. And I think they're going to get Felice for the foul. And that is her second. Only 14 fouls, so Dayton will have 20 seconds to shoot, 39 seconds to go in the period, which Dayton has won 20-6. Balls into Johnson. Jacques McDowell, oh, pass, almost intercepted, but Dawkins able to corral it. Dawkins drives, she slips, and I think Ray Pineda fouled her. Yes, they will give her the foul. That's her third. And now we'll see some free throws here. For Shantavia Dawkins, who at the line has room for improvement. 57% on this young season. So Dawkins will get the ball in a moment. First free throw, missed. The Flyers now at the line are 6 of 9. 67% if you round up. Next one is good. 7 of 10, 70%. Dawkins has 3 points. So 21-6 third quarter, and here is pressure in the backcourt. Gales with the basketball. Ball's poked away, but it comes back to Wittenberg. Franka Wittenberg from Germany into the front court. 3 second differential between shot clock and game clock, but Wittenberg really looking to attack. Now she's backing it off. If their coach is saying just shoot it with about 5 seconds to go in the period so you don't give Dayton an opportunity. 9 seconds on the clock. Wittenberg will drive. She's doing it all by herself. It's kicked out. It's Gales, the three. Almost banked it in. It's off the top of the iron after it hit the backboard. 3 seconds to go. Dayton get off the last second shot. Desperation heave. Dawkins is short. Excellent period, though, for Dayton. 21-6. And their lead is 44-36. The fourth quarter is after this.
Information Radio 1660 would like to thank the following businesses for helping us bring this game to you today. It's because of businesses like these broadcasts are possible. When you visit one of these businesses, please tell them you heard about them on Information Radio 1660. This year's underwriters are Archer's Tavern, Arrow Wine and Spirits, Bob Ross Auto Group, Butler Heating and Air Conditioning, Cedar Hill Furniture, Dayton Art Solutions, Demnica's Italiano Restaurant, El Rancho Grande, Fat Boys Dayton, Get Active Home Medical and Mobility, Hothead Burritos, Kettering Area Meyer Store, Kettering Overhead Door, Los Reyes Mexican Restaurant, Mo Harrigan's Irish American Tavern, Ohio Painting Service, Roberson Malone, Rotor Shoe Center, Rum Runners Cafe, Scott Bauer Roofing, Siding, and Home Improvement, Signorama, The Flower Shop, USA Tire and Auto Service Center, and Wheat Penny Oven and Bar.
All right, I mentioned that Wright State, they are home at the Nutter Center tomorrow at noon. Might be kind of a tough show, considering the Ohio State University plays at noon tomorrow against Rutgers, though that won't be much of a game. But I had to delve into this a little bit, because on the schedule tomorrow it says Indiana University East. Now, basically, Indiana University East is an NAIA school. They are a branch of Indiana University. Kind of the same situation we had here last year on a last-minute substitution when Davidson couldn't come. We had Miami University Hamilton, and, of course, it wasn't much of a game. But as for Indiana University East, they are located 45 miles away in Richmond. I mentioned they're a regional campus of Indiana University. They have about 4,000 students. And they have a lot of area athletes who I frankly think are going to be excited to be playing at the Nutter Center tomorrow, considering I think most of their games are probably in the equivalent of a high school gym. They have Sarah Stammen from Versailles, and she is, I believe, I couldn't find this out officially, I believe she is the brother of Craig Stammen, who, of course, pitched for Versailles, excellent pitcher for the Dayton Flyers, then had a long career in the major leagues with Washington and San Diego, and now has just been named the Padres manager. Also for local talent on the Red Wolves, that's the nickname of Indiana University East, is Riley Terry from Lewisburg. She attended Tri-County North High School. There's also Alexis Gibbons from Arcanum. There's Taylor Ferris from Talawanda. and there's a lady by the name of Minoxi Pandy of Greenville. So I know I'm all of a sudden giving a lot of publicity to Indiana University East, but they have a very local flavor. So not that, well, of course you could say not that it'll be much of a game. I guess you could say you never know, because I didn't frankly think that this was going to be much of a game. And here Dayton winds up challenged and trailing by 7 at the end of the first half. But they've turned it around. They had a 21-6 winning third period, and they lead this one pretty comfortably, 44-36, as a Jacques Madal right in front of us. Oliver can tap her on the shoulder. I wouldn't advise that. But the ball's inbounded to Nicole Stevens, and we're underway in the fourth period. Three fouls for Ray Pineda and Wittenberg. Dayton has three fouls for Malia Johnson. And now the three, Olivia Leung. Too hard off the back iron. Ball's loose. And it's grabbed by nobody. And it's on the floor. And on the alternating arrow, it'll go the way of Canisius.
Yeah, this has been a very, very physical game. Everybody's kind of been throwing themselves on the floor for this ball in pretty much every single moment of this game. And I'd like to credit Canisius for that, because despite everything happening, every narrative they might have faced going into this game, they're really battling against this Dayton team. And this is not a bad Dayton team, obviously. They hold their own. So giving credit where credit is due.
Canisius still leads total rebounds by 5. Yeah, and the young lady who has to bring the mop out and take care of the wet spots, she's been out there consistently tonight. Wittenberg now is calling the signals as she's on the dribble. Madal's right on her, like Kloop. Wittenberg drives. Wittenberg in the lane, cut off, 8 to shoot. Koppel now will start to penetrate. She'll hand it off to Wittenberg inside. It's out to Gales. Can Gales get it off? She banks it up and can't get it to go. Rebound loose. Rebound taken by nobody. Apparently, Ibrahim was on the line, and the ball will stay with Canisius with 9 minutes to go and 20 seconds to shoot. Yeah, these officials could basically have us till midnight. They could call, like they always say in football, is holding on every call. You could have a foul for physicality on every play in this game. So the officials are being judicious about what they are going to call. Wittenberg backs off, and now gets an open left foot look. Left side look, missed it. No block out, though, and Feliz puts it in. That was poor defense. Feliz has 5. 6-point Dayton lead. Leung misses short from the left side. She does not have her shot going tonight. She's now 1 of 7, and the ball goes out of bounds. Now, what Dayton cannot do is let Canisius hang around with the game within tenacious, or tenuous, I should say, 4-6-8-point spread. Into the front court is Wittenberg. Dribbles behind her back to elude a defensive attempt of a steal by Madal. And now it is Koppel. Mary Koppel on her dribble outside the 3-point stripe. Has no one to throw it to and bounces it off of the foot of Jacques Madal. 8 seconds to shoot, but they reset it to 20, so that's a break for Canisius. Niall Lear, Malia Johnson in, Shantavia Dawkins, and Jacques Madal out for Dayton. Feliz out of the lineup for Jabril. For Canisius. Wittenberg looks to throw it in, does so to Koppel. Back over to Wittenberg, 15 to shoot. Dayton up 6, 8.5 minutes to play in this game. Dayton was down 7 at the half. Wittenberg kick out. Koppel the 3 over Leung. Got it. Beautiful shot. High arcing shot for Koppel. Third 3 of the night. Dayton's lead's only 3. Ibrahim inside. Muscles. Triple team. Somehow forces it up. Should not have done that. Needed to kick it out. Not a good decision. Bodies down. Leung down. She's up now. Driving is Gales. Coast to coast. Banks it in. It counts and it's fouled. And Canisius can, if the counts, or is it an offensive foul? Offensive foul on Gales. Second foul. So Canisius will still trail this game by 3.
And I think what we saw Fatima Ibrahim do in that previous offensive possession for Dayton is exactly what they cannot do as this game continues to move forward. You cannot just force up a shot. She was triple teamed. And she, I don't really even think she looked for somebody to pass it to. She just went up for it. Obviously, did not go in.
Lear drives. Open lane. Scores. Nia Lear. 15 points. Canisius should have had their hands up there as Wittenberg tries to feed it inside. It's kicked out of bounds. And the official said it's Dayton's way. And Wittenberg is asking for a challenge here. And you know what that would mean? A trip to the monitor.
Looks like that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, Wittenberg's calling for it. Now, I will say this. As they go to the monitor, if the call is not reversed, there will be a charged timeout to Canisius.
Yeah,
so why don't we take a break? 7:24 to go. Dayton up 46-41. As the officials watch television, we'll return.
Information Radio 1660 would like to thank the following businesses for helping us bring this game to you today. It is because of businesses like these that these broadcasts are possible. When you visit one of these businesses, please tell them that you heard about them on Information Radio 1660. This year's underwriters are Archer's Tavern, Arrow Wine and Spirits, Bob Ross Auto Group, Butler Heating and Air Conditioning, Cedar Hill Furniture, Dayton Art Solutions, Damnica's Italiano Restaurant, El Rancho Grande, Fat Boys Dayton, Get Active Home Medical and Mobility, Hothead Burritos, House of 10,000 Picture Frames, Kettering Area Meyer Store, Kettering Overhead Door, Los Reyes Mexican Restaurant, Mo Harrigan's Irish American Tavern, Ohio Painting Service, Roberson Law, Rotor Shoe Center, Rum Runners Cafe, Scott Bauer Roofing, Siding, and Home Improvement, Signorama, The Flower Shop, USA Tire and Auto Service Center, and Wheat Penny Oven and Bar.
All right, we still await the official decision. Looks like the officials have made their decision. They just have to tell us what it is. Again, your leading scorer is Nia Lear, 15. She's the only person in double figures for Dayton, as 8 for Johnson, and Stevens has 7. As for the Griffins, they have very, very balanced scoring. That's not a surprise. And it is still Austin leading the way with 8 points. Now it's Koppel. She's got 9 on 3 three-pointers. So, as YMCA continues to play in the background, the officials are waiting as this full time out. We're ready to continue. I think they have kept Dayton with the call because the board shows the Griffins with 2 timeouts left. Dayton has 3. So we'll get underway here in a moment. I will tell you that the Butler did it. Butler is the Flyer opponent next Friday, 5 o'clock Eastern Time on ION. Flyers have won all 3 games historically against Butler. They last played in 2013. And first, let's get the decision here from Mr. Official. Ah, they have reversed the call. So, it is, he said blue ball, that doesn't mean anything to us. Canisius' ball, they will not lose a timeout. So that challenge was done well. Wittenberg was very astute to ask for the challenge. And Canisius has the ball down 5 with 7:24 to go. So as I mentioned, the Flyers' 82-39 victory over Butler last played in 2013. We'll get back to it in a moment. But some good names in the past did very well in that game. But right now, Butler has... No. Butler is not playing tonight. Canisius has the ball, and Koppel will throw it in. Koppel into Wittenberg. Wittenberg is played by Shantavia Dawkins. They try to post Jabril up, and they feed it to her in the post, but it's knocked away. It comes right back to Gales, and she loses it. And here comes Nia Lear. Ahead of the field with Wittenberg to challenge. A bounce pass Dawkins, and Dawkins missed the layup. But right there is Nia Lear, and she missed the layup as well. And Gales is able to come up with the rebound. And it's just dodged one there. 2 good cracks at it for Dayton after getting that steal. That is 13 turnovers, 22 turnovers. And in the meantime, Canisius scores. A I think Jabril scored that one inside. That would be her first basket of the game. She did. And Canisius battling back. Looks like they were going to be run out of it. Down nine, but now they're down three with 6:35 to go in this one. Now Lear kicks the ball for Foot. And the official stops play. Not sure why. Frankly, that's a break for Dayton. Flyers are going to keep the ball? So I'm confused here. It looked like it was off Lear, and Wittenberg was ready with Canisius to lead a break. But Dayton gets the ball, and Stevens will throw it in. 21st to shoot for Dayton. Ball's into Ibrahim. She has nowhere to go. She takes one dribble. Off to Nylear, outside to Stevens. Stevens with 10 to shoot. Stevens played out high by Clay. Doing a little one-on-one. Uses a screen. Stevens in the lane. Wildly throws it up and in. Off the glass. It's good. It counts. She's fouled. Has a chance to complete the three-point play as Clay has picked up her first foul. Nicole Stevens has 9 points. The play won't jinx her here. She's a perfect 4-4 at the free throw line this year. And that was all one-on-one effort. You don't see Nicole Stevens doing it that often. Now, of course, she's 5'7". But she took Clay to task in that situation. Let's see if she can increase the Dayton lead back to 6. She does. Stevens has hit 10 points. She came in averaging 7.7. Presser in the backcourt. Ray Pineda with the basketball. Up to Wittenberg. Franca uses a screen. Now Franca Wittenberg backs off. Met by Stevens. Wittenberg still on the dribble at 15 to shoot. Jabril has it. Jabril back to the basket. Kicks out to Ray Pineda. Ray Pineda on the right wing. Bullet pass Jabril. Jabril will drive at 8 to shoot. Jabril in the lane. 5-foot shot is good. Jabril back down her opponent. And she was very effective, and she has 5 points. Canisius down by 4. Ibrahim, double teamed, out to Stevens. Nicole traveled, or she stepped on the line, I guess is what they call it there. Dayton has committed its 12th turnover of the game. Quickly, Dayton shooting 37% from the field. The third time I've done it tonight. Canisius 41% from the field. 29% from 3 for Canisius, 20% from Dayton. Flyers at the line, 8 of 11, compared to 3 of 5 for Canisius. And again, Wittenberg. No! Canisius has committed 10 more turnovers than Dayton. But Canisius still leads the rebounds by 9 in this game. And they've outscored the Dayton bench. Their bench has 26 to 13. It's a 4-point Dayton lead. And here's a terrible foul. It's a reach foul. Did not need to be done on Ibrahim. And I have her for 3 fouls. And that is correct. First team foul on Dayton this period with 5:17 to go. Ball's in. And Wittenberg has the basketball in the left side and the baseline cutoff effectively outside to Ray Pineda. She momentarily loses the ball, but she gets it back. 8 to shoot. The ball's stolen. And Jacques Madal comes down the other way. Has Ray Pineda breathing on her, but she puts it home. Jacques Madal, some nifty ball handling. She's got 6. Dayton has a 6-point lead. Wittenberg into the front court. Again, touches that forehead. Let's see what that means. It means she's going to drive on Dawkins. Draws double coverage, and she banks it in. That's a strong move for the German, Franca Wittenberg. She's got 6. 4-point game. Again, Dayton cannot shake this team, this winless team. You people in Buffalo got to be very proud of them tonight. Dawkins will drive. Dawkins slips. Dawkins travels. Ooh, bailout foul on Ray Pineda. I didn't think that was a good call at all. She picks up her 4th foul. Oh, they change it?
Looks like they just reversed it, yep.
Actually, I think that's a just and righteous move there by the officials.
Yep, I completely agree. I'm pretty sure she kind of just walked and rolled with it as she fell to the ground. So,
again, a lot of sweat on the court tonight, and that might be why the slippage occurred. Dayton up, but only 51-47. 4:20 to go in this game. Wittenberg looks inside. Wittenberg drives. It's cut off effectively. Gales now will start to drive on the shot. Madal, 12 to shoot. Driving his best. Uses the screen in the lane. Double team. Pumps it up off iron. No good. But they get it back. And they miss another shot. And the ball is loose. They're on the ground. And the tie-up. And the ball will go Dayton's way. And yeah, you're right. This has turned into football and basketball court.
I mean, yeah, the physicality in this game is just incredible. Both teams are just really going after the basketball every single play. They're hustling. They're giving it 100% every single play.
Jacques Metal limping a little bit. And with substitutions, she's going to get a little bit of a rest. She's going to inbound the ball. I think Jacques has been on the ground more than anybody tonight.
Yeah, I agree.
Maybe with Nio. So Dayton's five are Stevens, Jacques Madal, Nio Lear, along with Ibrahim and Shantavia Dawkins. Dayton looking to increase the four-point lead. It's tenuous right now. Driving is Lear. Lear will put up off glass and get it! Lear has 17. And we have a whistle momentarily. Lear is now 7 of 15 from the field. Do we have an injury?
I believe Canisius called timeout.
Oh, okay.
But maybe I'm wrong. I thought that's what I saw.
Let's see. Everybody's kind of standing around saying, what's going on?
Looks like nobody's sure.
Nobody knows.
And we have the music playing, and there is an official at the monitor. So.
Oh, it's a technical of some sort.
Oh, that's what the T was.
On Nio Lear. That's not what you want. So Gales will go to the line. And it's good. She'll get another one. This will give her 8 points, and this will make the Dayton lead down to four if she connects, which she did. Didn't even hit the iron there. Gales has 8 points. So Nio Lear must have said the magic word. I won't ask the official what was that.
I know.
But Nio Lear got glancing. A T. And Austin's going to throw it in right in front of us. Dayton's leads four with 3:40 to go.
Yeah, I'm very curious as what happened there.
You can ask the officials after the game. But you're too young to know what these words mean.
Oh, of course.
You've never heard them before.
No, I don't know what those are at all.
No, that's true.
What magic word?
No, that's right. Abracadabra. All right, so now driving is Gales. She pushes off a little bit, got away with it. It's kicked out to Franca Wittenberg. She plows over Stevens. Stevens did not have position. That's a good call. Nicole has picked up her first foul. She's going to sit down and rest for a moment. Let's see. Fouls this period. Dayton 3 and Canisius 2. Stevens gets up, and across from us, front of press row, it will be Austin throwing it in. Antonique Austin. 8 points. Looks to throw it in. Bounces it in to Jabril. Jabril kicks it back out. Austin, a big three, is short. Up the front of the iron, Nio Lear has the rebound. She's off to the races again. Splits the defenders, goes all the way in, and misses the layup short. And we have a foul. It's on...
Looks like it's on Ibrahim.
You're right. That's her third. Boy. Nio Lear just couldn't connect on that one.
Yep, maybe just a little too fast for her comfort. She had the open lane, and it was wide open. She just kind of fumbled it at the last second.
I'm going to start doing my Tony Romo, like he was doing the Chiefs-Denver game last week. He started to do cartoon character voice when one of the players took off his helmet. Huh. I'm not going to go Bullwinkle on you, though. All right. Still kind of stuck here right now. Dayton 4-point lead. 3 minutes to go. On the dribbles, Austin. Austin hands the ball up to Wittenberg. Wittenberg will drive and go all the way in and score off of Ibrahim. Wittenberg has 8. That's a one-on-one ISO that worked. And guess what? We said, Dayton, you put together a third quarter 21-6. Well, this period you've been outscored 13-9. And now you're in a fight down the stretch up 2. It's Dawkins driving. Dawkins will bank it in. Dawkins has 5. See if Dayton can D it up here and maybe get a turnover. Wittenberg on the right wing. Cross court. They look inside. But it's Austin. She'll hold the basketball to Jabril. Jabril one bounce. Wittenberg will drive. 15 to shoot. Wittenberg ISO. Kick out. Here's a big three. Off the mark. Badly missed and going out of bounds. That shot had no chance by Bess. 55-51. Dayton 2:11 to go. Dayton now has to kind of think about playing clock here. As Koppel is back in, Ray Pineda is back in. Bess, after that gross-looking miss, is out. And Austin is also out. Boy, I'd hate to be the statistician who has to follow Canisius all year and record people in and out.
Yeah.
It's like you ever walk in an office building and there's that revolving door?
Yeah.
That reminds me of. 20 to shoot. Seat in front court. Up 4. Under 2 minutes to go. Lear, top of the key. Shoots it and missed it too hard. Jabril with the rebound. And that is a travel violation. And it was a little late call, but it was indecision by Ray Pineda. It was caused by some good defense by Shontavia Dawkins. The official was a little late calling it, but they finally got the call right.
Yeah, it looks like she almost got away with that, but Shontavia Dawkins was just not going to allow that to happen. And she screamed, travel!
That's 24 turnovers. Canisius, again, they lead the nation coming in at 27. Dayton up 4. Here's a pass inside. That's a terrible pass. That's Dayton's 14th turnover. And Canisius is down 4. And Wittenberg comes all the way in. Can't get it to go. She's going to go to the line to shoot a pair, though, with 1:36 to go.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really, really bad, unwise pass by Nia Lear up the paint. And that previous possession resulted in the turnover. And then what could potentially be and likely will be 3 points for Canisius to narrow this lead.
Abraham picks up her 4th foul. Yeah, you've got Wittenberg, 81% free throw shooter at the line. Look out, it's good. Wittenberg started 30 games last year, averaged 8 points a game. Previous 2 seasons played at Fresno State and majoring in psychology. One more for Wittenberg. She's got 9, she can make it 10. And she missed it. We jinxed her. The rebound is taken by Madal, but it looked like she was flailing her elbows.
Yeah, and Canisius is going to keep the ball.
On a tie-up, apparently. Is it on a tie-up? Well, Canisius has the ball anyway. Down 3, 1:34 to go. Koppel outside the 3-point stripe to Wittenberg. Wittenberg will drive all the way in. She's double-teamed. She's cut off. She has to kick it out with 13 to shoot. Now Gales. She is trying to take Stevens one-on-one inside. God, they got to call 3 seconds. Instead, she missed the turnaround hook shot, and Stevens has the rebound. And that was actually not a good foul of Wittenberg. She picks up her 2nd. Stevens goes back to the line. She really did not need to do that if you're Wittenberg. Well, okay, no free throws yet. Maybe it wasn't such a bad foul. 3 fouls on Canisius this period. Dayton's already over. But Dayton does get a fresh 30 up 3 points with 1:17 to go. 14 offensive rebounds in this game for Canisius, only 9 for Dayton. And going in, you really thought Dayton would smash Canisius on the boards. Canisius has been out rebounding an average of 5 on the season. Driving is Lear. Beautiful pass off. Ibrahim scores. She's got 5. Beautiful assist to Nia Lear. Flyers can breathe a little bit now. Up 5 with 50 seconds to go. Here's Gales, throws it inside to nobody. That's a huge turnover for Dayton. Canisius is going to have to foul. They're going to have to foul twice because they only have 3. Stevens on her dribble with 18 seconds to shoot. And there's a foul. They get Ibrahim by Jabril. Jabril picks up her 3rd. But they have to foul again with 36 seconds to go.
Yeah, and that took a lot of time off of the clock right there. I know Nicole Stevens kind of fumbled around with the ball for a little bit, and Canisius might have thought they would have been able to sneak away with the turnover there. But, I mean, that was at least 10 seconds off the shot clock right there, off the game clock.
36 seconds to go. The next one, and Canisius will be over, and we'll put Dayton at the line. Dayton with a 5-point lead. A game in which, coming in, thought Dayton would win it quite easily. They've basically been outscored and outplayed in 3 of the 4 quarters, but they do have the 21-6 third quarter that could prove to be the difference with 35 seconds left in this game. Somebody just picked up her 1st foul, but more importantly, it has Jacques Madal at the line, where she has not been tonight, but on the season she is 3 of 4. So a couple here make it a 3-possession game. with 35 seconds to go. We'll see here with two timeouts left. If Canisius uses one of them, which is all good. Probably it will be a 30-second timeout, so we will not break. And I'll have a chance to do a little preview for you as the free throw is good for McDowell. She's got eight. There's the timeout. And let's go back to Butler. So, again, Dayton has not played Butler since 2013 when they clobbered them 82-39. Here's some great names in the past. Amber Dean had 18. Sam McKay had 13. Andrea Hoover had 13. Cassie Sant from Fairmont had 8. Ali Malatz, Hall of Famer for Dayton. She only had 6 in that game. Butler's 2-3. They're going to play at Milwaukee on Sunday. They have wins over Wright State by 21, Northern Kentucky by 17, lost by 5 to Columbia, by 9 to Central Michigan, and I don't have the point spread that they lost to by Indiana. I forgot to write that down. Their coach is Austin Parkinson. 5 years there. Came from Indiana University, Purdue. Uwe Pui, IUPUI. Top scorer is sophomore guard Lily Zenstra at 14 points a game. And like Dayton, they are very generous. They average 22 turnovers a game. And that's the next game for Dayton a week from tonight in Florida, Fort Myers, 5 o'clock on the Ion against Butler. And then they play Kansas Saturday night at 7:30. So 35 seconds to go. Wittenberg looks to throw it in. 7-point Dayton lead. Does get it in, gets the return feed. Going to have to shoot quickly. Instead feeds it inside, throws it right to Niall Lear. That should do it. That's the 26th turnover for Canisius as they foul. And I think we can finally breathe a little sigh of relief.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing that. Yes. You can breathe a sigh of relief. I have to still talk. 26 seconds to go. And we'll hopefully get a player over here. And then the coach.
And I will be very curious to see Coach Tamika Williams-Jetter's approach to, obviously, assuming that the Flyers are going to walk away with a victory, which it looks like they are, up 8 now, could be up by 9 if Niall makes this next free throw. I'm very weary as to what her reaction to this game will be, just as a whole, and how they played.
Lear missed. Timeout. So, Canisius has the ball. I haven't read these underwriters tonight, so I'm itching. So we want to thank all these folks for allowing us to do the game tonight. If you're in one of the businesses, please let them know you heard about them here on our Dayton Women's Basketball broadcast. And our underwriters include Archer's Tavern, Arrow Wine and Spirits, Bob Ross Auto Group, Butler Heating and Air Conditioning, Cedar Hill Furniture, Dayton Art Solutions, Demnikas Italiano Restaurant, and Rancho Grande, Fat Boys Dayton, Get Active Home Medical and Mobility, Hothead Burritos, the house of 10,000 picture frames, Kettering Area Meyer Store, Kettering Overhead Door, Los Reyes Mexican Restaurant, Mo Harrigan's Irish American Tavern, Ohio Painting Service, Roberson Law, Rotor Shoe Center, Rum Runners Cafe, Scott Bauer Roof Exciting Home Improvement, Cinerama. I thought the official was going to come over and say something. Instead, he just took water. The Flower Shop, USA Tire and Auto Service Center, and Wheat, Penny, Oven, and Bar. Okay, 25 seconds left, Dayton up 8. And whatever you do here, you don't want to foul. Because if Canisius is going to score, you want them not to score if the clock stopped.
Yep.
Now, if they do score, Dayton still has 3 timeouts. So I would expect an immediate timeout for the Flyers to advance it to half court. But right now, the ball's inbounded. Wittenberg has it. 23 seconds to go. And for some reason, she's dribbling around, which now she's handing it off. And here's a desperation 3 that hits the front of the iron by Ray Pineda. The rebound to Lear, and she's fouled, and she can pad her stats. And Niall does have 7 rebounds, give her credit. She has tied Ibrahim for the lead with 7 rebounds. And Niall has 18 points, and she can increase it, and it can almost look like a comfortable win if Dayton winds up winning this game by double digits, but it's anything but. So Dayton won the first quarter 12-11 after they were down 7-2. Canisius won the second quarter 19-11. Dayton won the third quarter 21-6. and we are now tied in the fourth quarter at 16 as Canisius has hit a drought of not scoring for the last 2 minutes and 41 seconds. Nylier free throws good. 5 of 6 at the line. Dayton has hit 5 of their last 7 from the field. Oh, and they're up to 40% for the night. Free throw missed. Rebound loose. Comes to Medal. She does a tightrope. She falls out of bounds. The ball will go the way of Canisius. With 10 seconds to go, Dayton up 9. In a game, they trail by 7 at the end of the first half. Now you figure if you can put 2 halves together like this half, you could win by 32.
Yep.
But they only put 1 of those halves together. Front court, Ray Pineda, 4 seconds, 3 seconds. Will they even get off the last second shot? There it is. It's blocked, and that's the game. Dayton wins it, 61-52. Post game is coming up.
It's the post game program brought to you by Archer's Tavern and Hothead Burritos with Barney Sentner and Dennis Shaw. Now let's head back to the arena to get the wrap up on today's game.
Barney Sentner and Oliver Mitz are with you tonight. And I'll get you the team stats first as the teams go into their shake hands line. We'll see who's going to come over before Coach actually goes to TV. She'll talk with Alex and Christine on the ESPN Plus feed. And then we will get her after that. And I'm hesitating for a moment. I'm not going to launch into a bunch of numbers until I find out if somebody's coming over. Actually, they're going to go into a team huddle at half court. So both teams basically shoot 40% from the field. Pardon me. 24% from 3 for Canisius, 20% for Dayton. Free throw 6 of 9, 67% for Canisius. Dayton 12 of 17, 71%. Canisius right on their seasonal average, 26 turnovers. Dayton at 14. Points off turnovers. This is an interesting stat as Nicole Stevens joins us. Her line tonight is 10 points in 35 minutes. You work tonight, young lady. One turnover. Have you been in a game that has been so physical as this in a long time?
No, we have not. I think it was a great test, though, going into Thanksgiving tournament, going up against Kansas here soon, so Power Four. I think that definitely woke us up and something we got to work on in practice going forward.
Well, tonight kind of continues what I have to say to you is a disturbing trend of these slow starts. I mean, when you're down 7-2, I said to Oliver, I think every player needs to get an alarm clock and they need to get it off. It's easy to look at this Canisius team, and you all do, and take them for granted because, as they give you a stat sheet, because that first half, what was Tamika's, without mentioning some of her four-letter words, what was Tamika's message to you at halftime?
Actually, I think this halftime talk compared to last was a bit different. It was more so we need to play for each other. We played a lot of individual basketball in the first half. So that was something she came in. She didn't come in yelling like she normally does.
Really?
So I think that kind of took us like, okay, we really need to get it together here. I think only 11 turnovers this game, which is a lot better for us. I think we missed a lot of shots, a lot of one and done. We need to get back to offensive rebounding to get some second chance opportunities.
As for yourself, you, of course, missed the first game, but since then you've kind of gotten into the groove. No issues, because last year you were kind of plagued the whole season with the back issue. None of that this year?
No comment.
No comment. Okay, well, I hope it doesn't. It is not reoccurring at that point. So, what is the schedule for you guys? Are you off classes now? Do you, and when do you go to Florida? So, knowing it's going to get cold here, I'm sure you'd like to go tomorrow.
Yeah, no, definitely. We leave Wednesday. We have off day Sunday, so tomorrow we're going to watch a lot of film, really dial into rebounding, because that's been an issue all season, is post-play and rebounding. So we've got to keep working at that, and Wednesday we head down.
Yeah, I guess that's the other thing that maybe is a little bit of a dismay, the way that Canisius was able to hit the boards, especially offensively in that first half. I don't know if that's something that was talked about at halftime.
Yeah, it definitely was. Going into the game, we wanted to keep them under 9 offensive rebounds, and I think we gave that up in the first half, so That was definitely a big discussion at halftime.
But I will say this, as far as your defense, I mean, you forced them on their seasonal average of 26 turnovers. And look at this, points off turnovers, that's where you have to capitalize, 31-8. So that was impressive.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, thank you for joining us. Oh, well, just since we have a little bit more time, grad student, what are you majoring in, and what are your tough classes that you're taking now, if any?
So I'm majoring in education with a focus in human services. This semester I'm in an independent study, so I'm writing a 25, 30-page paper. And then I'm in an administration class where I've got to interview Coach Meek and just how she runs, because I want to go into coaching, how she runs the team, her staff and stuff. So a lot of interviews with her, a lot of shadowing.
And what about next semester? Same type of thing?
Next semester I'm in an elective communications class, and then one other for my to finish up my master's.
So that works out, because you'll have a lot of traveling with the A-10 road games, so
yep.
That should work out.
Yep.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you for joining us.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Take care. All right. So we can't wait to hear what the coach has to say very shortly, and we thank Nicole Stevens, our star of the game. Let's get back to this. 26 turnovers for Canisius, 14 for Dayton. Rebounds, Canisius plus 10. They out-rebounded Dayton defensively by 5 and offensively by 5 as well. And bench points, again, they play a lot of people in and out. Dayton off the bench didn't go so great tonight. They were outdone 26-15. Points in the paint were Dayton by 10, 40-30. Fast break points, 16-0. Canisius did not have a fast break point tonight. That's interesting.
Wow.
Steals. Dayton, 17 steals. That's impressive compared to 8 steals for Canisius. Assists were even. We were tied 4 times. We had 5 lead changes in this game. And as soon as the coach gets some hugs.
She's almost here.
She's almost here. So we'll talk to her, and then I'll give you the individual numbers, and then we'll go away. Because we'll leave this here. We had an attendance tonight of 2,050. So she is going to sit down and join us. I would like to say I would like to start with the third quarter of 21-6. Unfortunately, I will not. The slow starts continue, down 7-2. And I guess we'll start with this. Nicole Stevens said you did not go in and yell at the team at halftime, which everybody was expecting. Was this a psychological ploy? Oh, we can't hear her.
Oh, we can't?
No, we can hear you.
Oh.
Now.
Hello?
Here you are.
Okay.
Was this a psychological ploy?
After the Belmont halftime, I don't know, after getting my hair colored and dyed, and I just told them I refused to get more gray hair. Or they're going to have to start paying for it. You got to play and show up, and you can't play against teams like this. And I told them, that's all I said to them, is like, look, you got to show up and play every night. You can't play like that against a Belmont, who's a quad two team, who we were picked to get beat by 40 and be a one-point game in the fourth quarter and come out to 0-5 Canisius. And she is hockey subbing to keep them fresh and to stay punching us and not think that they're going to come out here and think and they're going to fight for our life. The other part of it is, I said, and I looked at Nio and Eleanor, I said, we've been that team. We've been that freaking team, man. 0-5, fighting for our life just to stay in games. So maybe that's why it doesn't get old for me to come out and play the way we're supposed to be playing. And, we'll go play Butler in Kansas, and we'll probably step up because of the competition, you know. But it's like, if you keep doing that and playing like that, you'll catch a Canisius on the wrong night, and they'll beat you.
Players know. They look.
Yeah.
They do their research like,
yes,
I did. If they watched, like, portions of this game or that game,
yeah,
they're probably saying, gosh, we can go out there with a blindfold on and,
yeah,
beat these guys. And do you really think that that's the approach that they took tonight, that there's anything you can do about it?
Yeah. I mean, and of course, we try to, you know, I said, I'm not going to make this team any better than what they are. And they are a team, too, that's getting better every time they play. But they're 0-5 for a reason. And we need to make them look like that. And we didn't. And that's just a level of maturity. People have to come off the bench. Molly has to give us more. Cam Grant has to give us more. Shantavia Dawkins, I think, is playing great basketball. And then, you know, I think every game we get Lily back. It's hard for Cam to come back against Belmont, but every game and every practice that kid is figuring out. So I'm happy we have another week before we play.
And, you know, third quarter, I really thought that you would just wipe them out in the fourth quarter and get an easy win.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it winds up looking like a comfortable win, but, you know, again, to their credit. But I think what disappointed me most about that first half is they were getting offensive rebound after offensive rebound, and they weren't just falling into them. They were basically out-hustling.
They were chucking and chasing that thing, and it was a toughness thing. And, I mean, if you're playing 10, 11 players, they go over the back. If they do anything, I mean, I thought it was a great strategy by Tiffany Swaffer. So they kept them in the game. They shot the ball extremely well, especially in the first half, better than they've shot it all season. But Everybody shoots well at UD Arena. We've learned that. Everybody comes in here and they can shoot. I don't care what team, men's basketball, when you always hear Coach Grant say, people want to come in here and have their best night. So it's an expectation when you have Dayton across your chest or Flyers across your chest to come and bring your best every day.
I do want to. I mean, Nia was tremendous, not just the points, but anybody who looks at that. How about her defense? She was always looking for steals, and she was on the ground.
She was, I mean, what can I say about Nia? I think 7 assists. I think she either tied or she was one short from Austria, and I had to play against Austria. That's at Kentucky, and she pretty much killed us. So long arms, very unassuming, stoic. Kid, and I think Nio, I mean, she made big plays for us when we needed them, and I'm just happy about her consistent level of play. I think this is something people have seen, and fans are always waiting for her to turn it on and play at this rate. And tonight she was a senior and pulled us through a tough game, and she's going to have to do that a lot this year.
And Nicole, 35 minutes, one turnover. Mm-hmm. I mean, credit the way she ran this club.
Yeah, she's, I mean, and how many minutes did she play?
35.
I'm trying to get that kid under 30 minutes. I mean, you got the oldest bones on the team playing 35. So we've been doing a good job managing her body, giving her like a day and a half, 2 days off, which has been great for her to rebound. I mean, the kid almost took her out on the box out right there. So I kind of cringe, and she's our most valued player because we don't have anything first that showed in Illinois State. We are trying to manufacture Niope running a little point, Shantavia running a little point, Liv, just in case we need to give her a break, even looking at Jada, especially when teams don't pressure, to bring the ball up and just get us into offense. But she's so pivotal, taking charges, toughness plays, rebounds, finding the right person. I mean, that's why we brought her back here for her 18th year.
seems that way. Okay, so you've got the back-to-back games Friday and Saturday. I guess you leave on Wednesday. So what is the emphasis in practice this week, taking this game into account?
Box out. score the ball. I think we got to pop the ball. I think in the second half we started to pop the ball. The first half we took a lot of threes. So we kind of bowed down to their, I can't even say,
3-15 for the night.
Exactly. I mean, we took a lot of threes, and most of those in the first half. Second half, we didn't. We punched. We got in the paint. Fatima got the ball. Nio got to the paint. Shantavia got to the paint. Nicole got a damn one. We got some stuff in transition, and we didn't settle for threes. And we're just a better team that way. We were against Belmont. Every team we played, we had 21 for 23 from the free throw line because we were pounding it in the paint. And so for us, I think we have to get back to that, not settle. But I think we came out here, I know, and we said, hey, we're playing Canisius. They're 0-5. They don't look like us. They don't bounce like us. And we're just going to come out and beat them and think people can roll over. Why they think that, I have no idea. Because I have a lot of gray
hair.
You
can't control.
We haven't won any championships. You haven't played in a championship game. You haven't played in postseason. You should be hungry.
We'll tell everybody to find the Ion Network next Friday and Saturday because those games will be actually on regular television. And we look forward to watching you in those two games, and we'll see you back here after Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Thank you for the coach. So let's go ahead and give you the final numbers. And I think listening to that interview, that's basically what we expected the coach to say. And, you know, we can't really start with glowing this, glowing that, and not from this performance tonight. But it's still a win. All right, for Canisius, Clay did not score in 14 minutes. Ray Pineda had 4 points in 21 minutes. Wittenberg had 9 points in 26 minutes, fouled out. Jabril had 5 points in 27 minutes. Gales had 8 points, a rough 3 of 12 shooting in 31 minutes. But Gales, give her credit, she had 13 rebounds, a lot of them offensively. Koppel had 3 threes, 9 points in 21 minutes. Bess had 4 points in 17 minutes. Austin had all 8 of her points real early in 16 minutes. Molly Mescal didn't score in 5 minutes. Felice had 5 points in 10 minutes. And my favorite pronunciation, Ivy Fondervandu had, I probably butchered it, she didn't score in 11 minutes. All right, for the Flyers again, our player of the game, Nicole Stevens, 1 turnover, 10 points in 35 minutes. Sounds like her back still bothers her, unfortunately. Sorry to hear that. Nia Lear, a complete game. And not just the points, but the defensive intensity. 19 points, 7 of 17 from the field, 5 of 8 at the line, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. Only 2 turnovers in 29 minutes. Olivia Leung, quiet game. 1 of 7 shooting, 4 points, 21 minutes. Ibrahim, another quiet game. Though she did have 7 rebounds, she had 5 points in 25 minutes. Jacques Medal had 8 points in 27 minutes. Malia Johnson, 8 minutes and, no, not 8 minutes, 14 minutes and 8 points. I'll get it right. Shatavia Dawkins, 5 points in 26 minutes. Jada Johnson, 2 points in 7 minutes. Cameron Grant had no points in 4 minutes. And Molly O'Riordan. Yeah, Molly's kind of stuck this year. I don't want to say she's regressed from last year. That's the way I feel.
I feel like it's just been a very, very slow, start
hard for her.
Finish, yeah. And everything.
No points in 10 minutes. And the other thing about that is no rebounds.
Yeah, and with
two turnovers and two fouls.
Someone that's her size, I feel like that's kind of part of it. That's part of the deal. Like, you have to be getting some offensive and defensive rebounds, especially offensive rebounds. That's where they're really struggling on the offensive side of the boards.
Yeah, and no rebounds tonight. All right, so that does it. Dayton wins the game. Well, I will say this. It was more interesting than I kind of was anticipating coming in. I was thinking that this is going to be a one-sided affair from the start, and we're going to have to launch into a comedy routine.
Yeah.
But anything but that. And that's why they play the game. It's not on paper. It's not looking at the stat sheet. And sometimes it's not even watching the opponent. Because I'll tell you what. I watched this Canisius team, their game against Cornell, and I just shook my head. Now, Canisius still had the turnovers tonight, 26. But they battled much better on the boards. They shot rather respectively tonight. And give them credit. And I hope they're able to keep this up and give Cincinnati a challenge on Sunday. So, we hope Dennis Shaw gets better. Hopefully he'll join us on December 7th, 1 o'clock game against Long Island. We hope Norm is enjoying his trip somewhere. And
around the world?
Yeah, no, I think he's just on the East Coast somewhere. Oliver, great job getting us on the air, keeping us on the air.
Thank you.
And getting the spots cleanly in and out. And we will say happy Thanksgiving. And we'll join you on December 7th. Again, one more time, the score, final. Dayton 61, Canisius 52. Good night from UD Arena.
You've been listening to the postgame program with Barney Setner and Dennis Shaw. Our thanks go out to Archer's Tavern and Hothead Burritos for making the program possible.
You've been listening to Dayton Flyers Women's Basketball on Information Radio 1660. Thanks to Archer's Tavern for underwriting today's game. You can hear a replay of today's game and any other home game from this year's season